I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. Our next story takes us deep into the metro tunnels and the train station sewers in the city of Moscow. In recent years, it was estimated that up to 50,000 children were living homeless in the Russian capital. Hanna Polak is among the adults who decided to help. She set up an agency and began fundraising for clothes and alternate accommodations for the kids. Well, it helped, but for her it wasn't enough. So Hanna went back to school, film school in Moscow, and ended up directing a short documentary called The Children of Leningradsky. Its straight-on depictions of begging and fighting and glue-sniffing and death have earned the film an Oscar nomination. Hanna will be here with us this hour to talk about her work. We'd like to have you join us. And the questions posed here aren't easy ones. What is to be done? Government officials have responded by setting up child detention centers. Are there other alternatives? Is it better to help the kids or concentrate on all the reasons why they end up homeless? And what do their stories tell us about the current economics of present-day Russia? And finally, how important, how valuable can film be as a tool for advocacy? Our number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And just a quick note, for more information about the film itself, you can go to our website, we're theconnection.org. You'll find links to the organizations that are helping the kids, and you can also there see pictures from the documentary. And let's welcome to the program the director of the film, Hanna Polak. She is joining us from the BBC studios in Warsaw, in Poland. Hi, Hanna. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Hi. Thank you very much.
I want to begin with your own interest here, because your angle is kind of interesting. You were working as an activist to help the kids before you became a filmmaker.
Yes, actually, I became a filmmaker because I wanted to help those children. So I made the movie specifically to help them. And at some point, I just felt that I can try to help myself, but I'm not able to do so much for them. You know, I will not be able to really help many of them because I have just no money, you know, no rehabilitation place for them, etc. So I felt I really have to show to the people this suffering of those children. So I decided, I first started to take pictures, like stills photos, and then I decided to make the movie about them.
And I suspect the international attention of an Oscar nomination has done a lot to draw attention to your work. You must be very proud. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And I really hope this will help the children.
Take me back to the first time you went into, was it Leningradsky Station when you first sort of had this encounter with the children?
Actually, the first railway station which I went to, it was Kursky Railway Station, mm-hmm. which is also one of the stations in Moscow. And then I met two children in the beginning, and this is how it started. The children invited me to the railway station in the evening. So when I came in the evening, it was about 70 children who were already notified about my coming. And so they were waiting for me.
What were they looking for? Were they looking for food or money?
Basically, they were looking for food, but I think they were also happy that there is somebody who got interest in them, because when I got there, I had the 70 children coming to me, actually rushing to me and talking, hugging me. Everybody wanted to say something. Everybody wanted to show me something. You know, it was really crushing for me experience, heartbreaking experience.
Hanna, at some point I read an interview that you did, and you talked about either that moment or that period of time when the children went from being invisible to visible for you. Are you thinking that they had always been there and you just hadn't paid attention?
Actually, I spoken today with a Polish journalist who used to stay in Moscow for many years. He has been a correspondent there. And he told me actually that the problem existed since actually 1980. It was already notified, so I think the children just became visible to me. I didn't notice them before. Maybe I didn't pay my attention, I'm not sure about it, but somehow or other I never noticed them. And one day I just got to know that such children exist, and I went to the railway station and I asked about it, and I've been told, yes, they are actually at the railway station, and then I went to look for them, and I found two of them. And from this very moment, I really started to be maybe more sensitive to them.
There is a scene in the film where you are underground with the children, and they are all holding plastic bags to their mouths, breathing in and out, sniffing the glue. It's a frightening scene. I wonder if you had any idea when you started just how caught up these kids were in adult life, in drinking vodka and sniffing glue.
It's a shocking experience, but I can tell you after even over 4 years of work with those children, I'm still shocked, and it's always something which surprised me and really moved me. And this movie is as, I think, harsh as it is, as, you know, strong as it is, it's still just a small part of the reality. And the experiences, you know, with this, the situation which we have seen, and we have not been able to even record it, and the talks which we had with the children is just an ongoing tragedy, an ongoing, you know, it's like, even like you said, I saw it before, and how they live an adult life. I'm always get surprised again and again with new situations.
I'm talking this hour with Hanna Polak, who is the director of a film called The Children of Leningradsky. Leningradsky is one of the biggest train stations in Moscow. And in one of the scenes from the film, a young boy who's 14 years old, his name is Yura, looks directly into the camera and talks about buying and sniffing this glue.
Начал клеить, уже все. Тебя уже к нему не тянет. Ты уже не можешь без него и дня прожить. Вот деньги тебе появились.
When you start sniffing glue, he says, you want to do it again and again. You can't live without it. You get 500 rubles. You spend it. Rahim, my friend, brought some new jeans and shoes. I had a lot of money and just went out and bought glue. I go get something to eat and I buy glue. It's the railway station's fault, he says. When I came to the station, I didn't do glue. And they taught me everything here. These children seem so unaffected, so willing to speak frankly with you, Hanna, about what it is they do.
I actually experienced this, that when you get closer to those children, when they really know you want to help them, they're very open, and they want to get in friendship, and they're willing to go to school, even learn, and like they're really unattended, you know, the children which have nobody who would take care of them, who would love them. So when you show them some interest, there is a possibility that they would open up and talk and help you and become normal people.
And one of the other difficult scenes to watch is that when the children talk to you about the way they have to face and in some cases accept the advances from sexual predators, the people who want to take the children back to their apartments.
Yes, this is a very hard part, and I would say also that the children, their whole world and their values are completely upside down, so sometimes they don't even realize how degraded this life is. Sometimes, of course, they understand, but it became so much their life, the cruelty from the side of the adults towards them and the exploiting them, that they start to really accept this as a normal situation in their life. They have been through so many things at their own homes. Oftentimes, they have just scars all over their heads. So It's really not surprising that they have so much rejected the life of adults. They can be very cruel even to the people, and sometimes, like I said, they don't even realize how the world of their values is upside down.
Let's actually hear one of those children. This is a 12-year-old. His name is Tolya, and he also looks directly into the camera and talks about being approached and going home with sexual predators.
Когда идешь куда-нибудь или сидишь, прощаешься, подходит мужчина, говорит: "Поехали ко мне в гости. Я тебя помою, покормлю."
When you go somewhere or sit and beg, a man might approach you and say, "Come with me. I'll give you some food and you can have a shower. I'll give you some money and you can do something for me." And he says, "I agree. But I'm always afraid, even when I'm gone with him a million times, the fear is still there. You might end up dead. You're always afraid you might die." And Hannah, my understanding is that a lot of these children do die very young.
Yes. Actually, I've been witness of, not directly, but as far as the children which I knew, I know some of the children which has died already, has been murdered, and some children disappear, so you never know what really happened with them. And I have records of the children who have AIDS right now, who are dying actually on the street. So, yes, he's completely right. You never know what's going to happen with you and when you live in such a life unprotected. When there's nobody really who would stand for you, who would take care of you.
My guest this hour is Hannah Polak. She's the director of a new film called The Children of Leningradsky. She's also the sponsor of a website which aims to help them. And you can find links to that website as well as photographs from the documentary at our website. That's www.theconnection.org. So what can be done to help the children? Is it just a matter of getting them off the street? The government has tried a little bit of that. And when we come back after the break, we're going to find out how well that has worked. We'd like to have you in on the conversation. We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection. What do the stories of the homeless children in Moscow tell us about the economics of present-day Russia? Hannah Polak has taken her camera into the sewers and the underground catacombs of the train stations in Moscow for a film called The Children of Leningradsky. It's nominated for an Academy Award in the documentary short category. Hannah's joining us this hour from the BBC Warsaw studios. And we've got Fred Weir joining us now on the line. Fred is Russian correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor and has lived a long time in Moscow, has written many times about this problem. Fred, it's nice to have you with us.
Thanks, Dick. Nice to be with you.
I'm wondering what happened. I'm a little lost here. 2 or 3 years ago, Putin said he was going to do something about that. Did he?
Not really. I think very, very little has been done. A few things have improved the situation a bit in the past, 6 years or so since I first started writing about it myself. One is that the police no longer take the kids to prison, which was what they were doing for a long time. They take them to juvenile prisons where they sort them out and send all of those from out of town back where they came from, essentially deport them. Now they're supposed to refer them to social services where, as far as I can see, still no effort is made to find out anything except where they come from. And then they're distributed to either to local orphanages or sent back to the police in their hometowns. But one good thing is an awful lot of private, non-governmental agencies and groups, charity groups, have moved in, and they are working with the kids in a lot of the railway stations here.
And, Hannah, you interview some of the children who are taken into these shelters or detention centers or whatever they're called and then have found a way to get back onto the street. What do they tell you about life in those places?
It's rough. It's really, I mean, this is a very hard-edged society in every one of its layers. But in this respect, children who are out in the streets, they inevitably come from homes that are hellish. They're escaping from something, most of these children. And they're drawn to Moscow because this is the big, rich, cosmopolitan center metropolis in Russia. There are many, many hidey holes, places for kids here, many criminal groups and other ways that they can make some kind of a living, and just huge numbers, swarming numbers of homeless kids. And I have always found, as your guest has, that they speak very, very frankly about their lives when you sit down with them.
Let's take our first call for this hour from Nashville, Tennessee. Warren's joining us on the line. Hi, Warren.
Hi, how are you this morning?
I'm well. Thanks for calling. Tell me what you're thinking.
Well, my question is, did these kind of conditions exist before the dissolution of the Soviet Union? It seems to me that when you look at the American media and the victory of capitalism in Russia, is that we only see these stories about individuals being able to make a lot of money, have their own businesses, a lot of individual wealth, but we continually hear stories about former countries in the Soviet Union not being able to provide insulin for their children, for the old people not having their pensions, and now we're finally hearing stories about thousands and thousands of children on the street. I just wonder, did these conditions exist under the Soviet Union, and are we taking the same approach that we take here, that looking for individuals and groups to try to help these children instead of trying to seek a social answer or reorganizing the wealth?
Well, there's two parts to that answer, and I'll take the first one, and that is we need to acknowledge that since the late 80s, we've been able to hear and read and listen to stories from parts of the Soviet Union that for years and years were closed. But Fred Weir's someone who was living there in the years before that. Fred, are the images of the homeless children something that have actually appeared with the dissolution of the USSR?
You know, Soviet propaganda used to say that the only privileged class here are children. And there was some truth in that. There were a lot of organized activities for children, organizations. There was a lot of checkup, in the community. So I doubt that the problem of homeless children as such existed then, although there were plenty of other awful aspects to life in the Soviet Union. This one is pretty much a problem of the breakdown, neglect, all the things that really accompanied the dissolution of the USSR, which, as your guest said, began to happen in the late 80s.
Let me, go back to Hanna Pollack, the director of the Children of Leningradsky. In the 6 years since you first started working on this, Hanna, have you noticed a change, more children either being helped or being pulled off the street by the authorities?
The recent 2 years, there is some effort taken by authorities in Moscow especially. They try to take the children out of the street. They have acknowledged the problem and they try to solve it, but there is no really good solution unless there would be very good rehabilitation programs for those children. Because if you place them in institutions where they, actually many of them has escaped already because of bad conditions, they would eventually go back to the street anyway. And if you don't solve the problem the way, you know, like really giving the children chance and opportunity to have an alternative in life, I think the problem wouldn't be solved. It has a good effect that some children are out of the street because at least they are not left alone. There is somebody who tries to get rid of them from the street, I would say, like this. So some of them, which are not so motivated to stay on the street, maybe they still stay in some orphanages. But I don't think it's really everything done what could to change the situation of the children. And also, as it was said before, maybe during the Soviet Union, there was no homeless children because homeless children were not allowed. But I think it actually prepared a good fundament for those children living on the street because there were so many children in different institutions, in orphanages. It was, I think right now it's even about 800,000 children living in institutions, and their suicide rate and drinking problem and violence, etc., is so high, and so how many children of them goes to crime. So I think it's a big problem and it's very complex. And also, like I said, recently, last 2 years, there is an effort put to solve the problem. I think it is still a big problem and it has to be still rehabilitation programs, especially, I think, created to help with this.
We're talking this hour about the problem of homeless children, particularly in the Russian capital of Moscow. It's something that happens in regional capitals all over the former Soviet Union. Hanna Pollack's film, The Children of Leningradsky, focuses specifically on their plight. It's up for an Academy Award in the documentary short category. And Fred Weir is also with us. He's Russian correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. We'd like to have you in on our conversation, which explores the reasons why these kids are on the street and what is being done to try and help them. Let's go to Cohasset, Massachusetts for our next call. And Lynn is with us. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. Great show and great program. I just wanted to say that I've felt for years, just looking at the big picture, I wonder how much better off the children of Leningrad and a lot of other people would have been in the former Soviet Union if the West hadn't been quite so anxious to push them into a total free market economy, and if there hadn't been more of a transition, perhaps to a sort of Scandinavian-style socialism, mm-hmm. In which there were some more safety nets. It seemed that, you know, we talk an awful lot about freedom with a capital F, but perhaps the freedom to live in railroad stations for kids is not really an enviable goal. And perhaps if there had been more of a transition, some of these social upheavals that we hear about in Russia, the plight of the elderly, the plight of pensioners, the plight of children.
Let's not make it too broad, Lynn. I want to try and stay on the children,
sure,
just for the purposes of this.
Sure, but I do think they're an important part of a bigger picture.
Well, yeah, it's understanding what kind of social change is happening there. And Hanna, maybe you can start on this, because your perspective of the change that we have seen is not from New York or Los Angeles, but you've watched this from Poland, which is a country that has been through some of its own upheaval. Is Lynn right to say that the great Western push to democratize and bring freedom and a free market economy is in part responsible for the fate of the children we're talking about today?
Well, certainly the system has changed in Russia, the system of kind of pushing people towards working, towards that everybody had must to go to school and get a social security, even very low. But at the same time, the drinking problem didn't come with the capitalism. I think it's a long ongoing problem, and many of the children actually come from the unfirm families and people who have no really perspective in, you know, earning good money and coming from some deep province of Russia, former Soviet Union republics, etc. So I think it's a family crisis which also didn't come from just nowhere, just didn't start to happen with the fall of Soviet Union. So I think all these deep problems were really hidden for years and they just came out right now, so we can see it. The children were just pushed into institutions. Like I said before, there were so many children living in the orphanages, and many of this. I mean, I have friends who are not children right now who has went through the orphanages, and they told me that many of their colleagues, they're not alive anymore, or they on drugs, or they have drinking problems, etc. So, or they're in prison. So I think it's a big and complex problem, and I wouldn't say that the democracy really brings these problems. But well, of course, I can say that all the goods which are flickering, you know, I mean, so nice, so attractive for those children, bring more of those children to Moscow, to other big cities, is like a dream about the rich life, about sneakers, about all of this, you know, Coca-Cola and etc. So maybe this is a truth that there is a desire for those children to enjoy all of this, and they cannot enjoy mostly in their small towns or villages. So.
Fred, your thoughts on this? Because of course the alcoholism was there when the Soviet Union was still in place. Abuse is a part that exists all over the world. So, do you point to things like changes in the working environment to try and figure out how the disintegration of the family has led to such homelessness?
Well, you know, for the last 15 years, I've been trying to figure out why post-Soviet Russia just slipped into such a morass, and the preconditions had to have been there. Like, you have to ask yourself how a country which had an official ideology that stressed human cooperation and love thy fellow man and internationalism and all those things descended into this dog-eat-dog, absolutely antisocial society that they're still trying to crawl out of. The Soviet Union was a very, very different organization of resources, regimentation of people. A lot of the problems that we see here didn't exist apparently didn't exist, but they must have in some form. So I do think that you can find the roots of all of these problems, and particularly the miserable state of children who are abandoned to institutions or to the street, which is one of the worst phenomena.
Right. Let's take a call from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Emily's on the line. Hi, Emily.
Hi.
Tell me what you're thinking.
Well, I spent the last two summers in St. Petersburg, Russia, on sort of a mission trip, teaching English, conversational English, and the church I was working with had taken in some street kids from that area, and my observation was that they were coming from families, if they weren't orphaned, their parents were alcoholics or abusive, and that's why they were on the street. So my question is just whether that is the general reason for these kids in the railway station, or what your guest has found as far as why they're there.
Hannah, some of the children tell you in interviews that they're actually thrown out of their homes by mothers and fathers.
Exactly. Most of the children come from alcoholic, abusive families, and some of them, I would say the second part, mostly comes from the bad institutions, from orphanages, from places where they have experienced violence. And, I think this is the most of cases. Of course, there are some children from time to time, but when I really analyze it, when I really talk with them deeper, it's always a problem. So most of those children don't come from a happy life, from the loving families. They come from, they're abandoned, they're not wanted. In fact, the very first shot which I have taken on the railway station, it was a girl who just was about to commit suicide. She actually cut her wrists. And in between waiting for the ambulance, she said, I'm not needed. I nobody wants me, you know.
So how old was she?
She was 15. And then I had another child, maybe 12 years old, approaching me and talking something about his kidneys. And I thought he maybe needs to go to a hospital. Maybe he has a pain in his kidneys. And then he told me, I would like to donate my kidneys. And I said, what are you saying about? What are you saying? And he said, I have no desire to live anymore. I'm not needed to anyone. So I think it's a great, great problem. And I actually wanted to make this movie very general. So it's just not applying only to Russia, but to all the societies which can look into the problem of the children, and this, even in the rich family, children are oftentimes not wanted, not needed, you know. I mean, maybe not wanted, but the parents have not enough time for them. So actually I would like to stress this, that children, this is something what they really need is love and affection, you know, is the care. So I feel the movie is more general than just applying to a particular situation which occurs today in Russia, and actually it occurs also in other societies. But I feel this is about the children, about their need for love and for care.
And the name of the film is The Children of Leningradsky. Leningradsky is one of the big train stations in Moscow. Hannah Polak has done a film which brutally shows you the way those children live and die in the sewers and the back alleys and places where you can't even imagine walking, much less sleeping and calling a place like that home. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. What do the stories tell us about the way that parents treat their children, as Hannah is saying? Maybe it is not just a Russian phenomena, but what does it also tell us about what's going on in that country at the same time? 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. We'll be right back. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection. Hannah Pollack's documentary film, The Children of Lenin Gretzky, was meant to focus a bright light on the circumstances of homeless children living in the capital of Russia, in Moscow. It has done that, in part with its recent Oscar nomination in the documentary short category. There's a scene in the film where a young boy, 13 years old, looks into the camera, and let's hear a little bit about what he said.
Что будет завтра, мы ничего не знаем. Что на вокзале? На вокзале. Сейчас живешь.
We don't know what's going to happen to us tomorrow. At the train station, you live as long as you're still young. Everything looks fine, but what happens when you're older? Die as a bum. Drink vodka and lie around all day. 13 years old. We're going next to Cedar Falls, Iowa. Anna's joining us on the line. Hi, Anna.
I was born and raised in Russia, and I know the situation. I know it's very much overlooked. I grew up in Moscow, and I had a situation just to illustrate one of the previous points that you were making. We were living in an apartment, and outside apartment, you know, we were sharing apartments with other people. So outside of the apartment, we had a couple of teenagers, boys that appeared in late 90s, and we were wondering about them first, kind of, you know, just these are the bums. But then we started talking to them, and those were the people from Ukraine. Their parents came after the collapse of the Soviet Union, and they came in total poverty, and they could not provide for those kids, and they pretty much were thrown on the streets, and all of our house was just donating books, and we were talking to them constantly. Those were very bright boys, the boys that should be in school, and everybody had that pain for them because, you know, these are the people that are not supposed to be thrown out like that, and at some point they disappeared, but that left a terrible imprint on my heart, and I do know that this is a problem that should be addressed not only in Russia but other Eastern European countries, and I just wanted to illustrate that point.
Do you know what happened to those boys, Anna?
I don't. Unfortunately, I don't. Many of us were trying to keep up, but there's no way we could find them. They would not tell us their last names. They were afraid because they were not registered to stay in Russia, had no documents. They were immigrants from Ukraine, and they were looking for sources of income. They were trying to make money, but I don't know what happened to them. But this is just a reality that every other person is very familiar with back in Moscow, Petersburg, or other places.
Well, thanks for your call, Anna. I know, Hannah Pollack, you had faced these kinds of situations on a personal level. Do you take the children back to your own apartment, for example?
Well, I had quite a lot of children living in my apartment, and some of those children are already out of the street. Some of them are in the orphanage. Some of them, we managed to get them back home and change their family situation. So, yes, and I think Anna actually raised a very great point also that when I actually work with those children, I find them brilliant. I find that many of those children are with a great sense of humor, with great, wonderful talents. And like she said, I feel also the same. They really should be in school. They really should achieve something in life, and they be great citizens of their country, you know. So it's also my great pain when I look at their situation and at their lack of possibility, actually, to be in school and sleeping in this very low, horrible life, which often is ends in the prison or with the death.
And Fred, it's probably worth making the point here that, and you see this in Hannah's film, that ordinary people do go out of their way to give money, to help. These kids are not necessarily as shunned as you might think. There is in, you know, among Muscovites a capacity to want to try and help to some extent.
Well, I think Russians are as soft-hearted as any other people. The problem is there are lots and lots of different classes of beggars in Moscow. They just swarm in the streets. There are just huge numbers of elderly people whose plight is pretty bad here. There are lots of injured war veterans and so on. And so I think that whatever there is, it's not nearly enough. Charity alone wouldn't be solving this problem. And I wanted to mention that there is another category of homeless children, as your previous caller pointed out. It's not just children from abusive families or abandoned children, but there are an awful lot of dislocated people who might have had ordinary lives and been brought up in proper families and so on, but because of war in the North Caucasus or because of the breakup of the Soviet Union that created borders where there weren't any before, there are an awful lot of people who are just out of, you know, fish out of water, and they're in the streets because of that.
Let's go to Raleigh, North Carolina for our next call. Jay's on the line. Hi, Jay.
Hi. How are you, Dick?
I'm fine. Hannah. Thanks for calling. Tell me what you how you want to get in here.
Well, I would like to know if the Russian government has approached Hannah as a result of the reception the film has received here in the U.S., and I had the privilege of seeing it when I was at Sundance about 2 weeks ago and met Hannah, and then also wanted to know what she was planning to tell the children about its reception here in the U.S.
Let's start by finding out if the film has even been screened in Russia. Could Hannah?
The movie hasn't been screened in Russia. I have screened it to some of the children, and they really like the movie. And, well, in one way, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to screen the film in Russia because I promised some of the children that I won't show them in their country. Some of them, they felt ashamed mm-hmm. about it. They didn't care if we show it somewhere else, but as far as Russia. But I think also, as far as the Russian government, I hasn't been in contact till now. Well, we tried to make a rehabilitation program, and this is a great effort which me and some other people are putting into having this kind of like rehabilitation center for the children. And I really hope for cooperation with Russian government, with the people who could really be interested in running a very good program. And in fact, I am working with a great rehabilitation program in Poland, which wants to give their staff workers, which would like to train the people. And the program was maybe 2 years ago audited by Dania International on the request of the U.S. government. And it was considered as one of the best working, the most promising rehabilitation programs all over the world. So I really would like to bring those people from Monar to Russia and help Russian authorities, Russian people to solve the problem, at least to some degree, because of course we cannot help everybody. And
let me, if I can, go back to Jay, because Jay, the film has not been distributed in the United States either. It is going to be screened, I think, as part of, it'll be seen this summer on Cinemax, and I think with the attention that it's getting, it'll be available in other places. But we have seen many films about kids in situations like this. So, Jay, what is it about Hannah's film which, in your mind, caught your attention or lifts it, distinguishes it from the others?
Well, it was actually the first film I saw at Sundance this year, and it really set a whole threshold for the next films I saw. And it's incredibly poignant, and the films that followed it were strong, but it was a lead-off film, and I think it will stay a lead-off film. And the candor that she was able to get from the kids was absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
and you just can't, it's just, you can't express in any kind of radio show or any place without seeing the film, you know, just how strong an impact it will have.
Your question, though, puts me in mind of something that Fred can help us with, and that is that even if this film, by an agreement between Hannah and the children, won't be screened widely in Russia, what might you see on Russian television, Fred, along this lines? Is this kind of journalism or advocacy work ever being seen in the sort of popular media in Russia, newspapers or television?
You know, it was in the 90s, but a lot of that has ended under the new regime. I was going to say I don't think that this would be well received by the federal authorities here, although they have been taking some steps. It's really the local governments, and here in Moscow, the city government, which have addressed the problem. But I think in the current environment, the Kremlin tends to regard all this sort of thing as anti-Russian propaganda, typical journalists looking on the negative side. I'm guessing it wouldn't be well received.
And Hannah, did you ever have any difficulty in the filming? Were you ever removed by the police or encouraged not to show this kind of dirty underside of a city's nature?
Well, I had actually some tapes destroyed by a police, but what I would like to say, I really would like to make it clear that the movie is just showing a particular problem, and I made the movie, like I said in the beginning, with this desire to help those children, and I feel it should be really understood that this is not about Russia and about somehow showing that, because I think the children also at the same time, also it's a big problem, of course, but at the same time they really shown really in a very beautiful way. This is not just the movie about the problem. It's also about the beauty, about the, you know, actually, the children are just amazing. So I think, well, it's hard for me to say if the movie would be not well received. I don't know. I really hope we will not have a problem with this. And it was not my desire to somehow show Russia from like a really bad way or something like this, because I really am fascinated by this country. And I really think that Putin has done some steps towards changing the situation. I feel it's still not enough, and I think everybody in Russia realizes it. I think everybody knows it, and I think Russia has a lot of problems and has to deal with this and should realize this. And I think maybe, I hope, such a movie can help even with realizing this. It's a problem. It's like if in my country, which is Poland, actually, somebody would show me that there is a certain problem, I think I should really deeply about it and think how to change it, not get offended.
I want you to go a little bit further, if you can, in explaining what you mean by beautiful, because the children, by their nature, are very beautiful. And
yes, this is exactly what I mean. This is what I mean, that we have shown those children also from a very, you know, we show their cruelty as well, but also at the same time, I think it's an extreme beauty in those children. They are, just like I said in the beginning also, they're very smart, they're very talented, they very loving, they just kids, and this is something, although they have to live in a very adult way, they have to protect themselves, they have to fight for their life, they have to struggle for existence, but at the same time I feel when you give them an opportunity to show that they are just the children, when you create good conditions for them to develop, they really show they are children, they can draw the pictures, they you know, they just behave like children, and this is something
it's a very it's a funny contrast, though, because you're talking about kids and the scenes are in the film who pass around the bottle of vodka, who are frequently, you know, smoking cigarettes and swearing and sniffing the glue and getting high. And there's times, I have to tell you, Hannah, there's times in the movie when I think to myself, oh, my God, is there any child left in that 13-year-old? Or has he become this, you know, nasty little version of an adult?
Yes, exactly. But then when, you know, you create them a little bit of environment where they can be children, they really are children. You can really experience this. I have actually, because this movie is just 35 minutes film, but I have shot over 140 hours and there is so much materials which is showing those children also in different situations, drawing the pictures, taking computer courses, talking about their schooling, yeah, talking about their desires, their dreams. So I feel they are really children inside. They still, and this is something, this way, like I say, it's not just the movie about the ugliness and about the problem. I think it's a very, I think the movie is made to show the overall, actually, situation of these children living in such a conditions. And, of course, they never should be put in such a situation. In fact, I'm visiting lots of my friends who have the children, and it always strikes me with wonder how the children really, this is what they really need. It's the love and the care, you know. So this is something which those children are void of, and it should be understood that this is not a political question. This is a very serious question, actually, even in my life, you know, how I treat others, how I'm going to raise my own children, and it's the question of responsibility. And this is what I would like to say, that we should just acknowledge the problem, but, you know, not to get offended by this, but just try to change something. And if I could help with this, this is my desire.
And on that note of changing something, I'm just wondering, Fred, if this kind of attention is the sort of thing that, you know, will either attract more of the private organizations that you're talking about, which you say are doing a really admirable job in helping out, or also inspire government officials to look for more creative solutions that would return the kids to school rather than sending them to a sort of junior version of military academies.
Yes, well, and
let me hear from Fred first on this. Go ahead, Fred.
I certainly hope so. I mean, this is the way, by publicizing these things, by doing just what she has done, point the camera at it and show it, this is the way people become aware and people will take action. And this has been happening a lot, especially in the private sector, and also, as I said, in municipal government here in Moscow, not so much at the federal level where they're on the big picture and they're in a particular bunker mood right now. But I hope in the long run that this will have a very powerful impact.
We have time, Hanna, for one more comment from you. You were going to say something here.
I would like to say that I think it's very important that more non-governmental organizations would be involved in helping those children. And that's positive situation would be created by the government for such a organization to exist, because we see this on the example of many other countries that it really helps. This biggest Polish rehabilitation organization is actually an NGO organization and is helping greatly.
And the film we're talking about is called The Children of Leningradsky. The director of the film is Hanna Polak. She joined us this hour from the BBC Warsaw Studios. Hanna, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much. And I would like to encourage, if anybody would like to help, go to the website activechildaid.org and also Russian Children Welfare Society and see what could be done also. Thank you very much.
Links to both those websites on ours. We are at theconnection.org. Fred, always a pleasure. Thanks for your time.
Thanks.
Fred Weir, correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, based in Moscow. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.